How's everyone this morning? 大家好吗？Nice to be back. Nice to see our friendly faces, new faces. 蛮开心的，回到东珠禅寺。这边前面有几个空位，有没有人想来坐 ？Some empty seats up here. Anyone want to sit? You don't have to sit in perfect posture. You don't have to be afraid that you'll move. 那前面坐不必怕说脚会痛啊，不可以动啊，怎么样？可以来前面坐。No one? Thank you. One more seat up here. Nancy? A seat has your name on it. So, I remember when I used to live here, Sunday talks. Most of the seats, by the time the Sunday talk happened, would be occupied. And most of the seats were set up in cushions. Now most of the seats are chairs. What's happening here? 记得我以前住在东珠禅寺的时候，星期天早上讲开示的时候，大部分的座位都是蒲团。然后大部分都坐满，现在呢，少部分是蒲团，还坐不满，大部分是这个椅子，所以这个叫做无常，impermanence。Do people come here to practice or to hear a talk? 你们来这儿是来修行的吗？还是来这儿是听演讲？来这儿修行的请举手。Came here to practice, raise your hand. You came here to hear a talk. Please raise your hand. Okay. It's actually a trick question. 这个问题是在骗你们的。好像这个修行跟听演讲好像两回事的样子。So it seems like practice and listening to talks are two different things, right? Actually, they're the same. So what's today's topic? Everyday application. When a few months ago, I was invited to give a talk here because I just finished leading a 7-day retreat at Dharma Drum Retreat Center. Ended yesterday. People here were trying to figure out a topic So couldn't come up with a topic. I didn't know the audience would have been different. The causes and conditions would be different. I don't know what people wanted to hear. So one of the nuns suggested say something about practicing daily life, daily living, because people seem to have trouble understanding how to apply practice to daily life. So I said, okay, we can talk about that. 那几个月前我被邀请到这儿来讲开示，其实不是特别邀请我来的，是因为我昨天才待完禅期，在香港道场。那这边的常住众就请我来顺便讲一场开示。那我问他说，应该讲什么题目呢？想了半天都不晓得。但是有一位法师说，这边的人比较难，在日常生活中修行，就是修行跟日常生活中好像切成两半，所以最好讲这个题目。那我说好啊，所以今天题目好像是禅与日常生活，是不是？生活禅，好像活禅生活禅。大家对这个题目有兴趣吗？为什么有兴趣？ Are you all interested in this topic? Do we have problem, difficulty, finding life as practice? How to integrate practice in daily life? How many of you find it difficult? Raise your hand, please. That's two. Okay.We don't need to talk about this then. Does anyone know what practice is? 诸位知道修行是什么吗？不要不好意思，没关系，我们就是很啊 ，please. Carry on.Did you all hear him? It says, observe the arising and perishing of daily life. Try not to attach to various phenomena of rising and perishing. And just carry on. 诸位有听到他刚刚讲什么吗？他刚刚讲说，我刚刚问说，诸位知道什么是修行吗？那这位男士讲说，看到生活的生灭，然后不执着它，但是继续活下去。诸位听得怎么样？ You like his answer? What do you think about the answer? Yeah.
I like it, but for me, it's a little advanced.
Yeah. Why?
I liked his answer very much, but for me, it was a little sophisticated, a little advanced, because it seemed, for me, it would involve like another level of the, like, rising and perishing, like, this is impermanent, don't attach, don't get so...caught up in something, it's going to keep changing. Like, it seems like another level for me in my practice, but I feel like it's beautiful in a certain way for as an answer, but for myself, it's not as practical.
So what is practice for you then, Bob?
For me, it's just trying to be aware or mindful of what's going on in my head. The content of my head, how I'm reacting to things, how things are affecting me, how I'm responding to things, and what I'm doing, and trying to stay present, trying to not think too much about the future, speculating or dwelling on what happened, and just trying to stay present, trying to be aware of what I'm doing and what I'm thinking and what's going on in my head, and trying not to be affected by all this stuff that's going on, trying not to get too too disturbed by all of it, just trying to stay calm. That's my what I try and do, but it's not so easy.
You know, what you said is like a commentary to what he said.
Yeah, but from his, he seemed to take it to another level in his description.
It's actually what you're trying to do, you know, because it's just a simplified form without too much elaboration, right? Because when you're aware of what's going on in your head, what you're aware of is these thoughts are coming, sometimes emotions come, and sometimes they go away, sometimes there's fear, sometimes there's joy, and when you're doing stuff, you're aware of what you're actually doing. While you're aware of what you're actually doing, things are coming and going. You know? You try to stay, not be affected by it. Right? Similar.
Yeah.
It's a grayscale of kind of degrees of whether we can do or not, to what extent we can do it. Right? The difference would be what he presented is perhaps the ideal. Right? So, but the nature of practice is basically similar. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's sort of what I was saying. Like,
a grayscale.
Yeah. He said it in a simpler form, but for me to focus on, oh, it arises and perishes, just the simplicity of that it's too simple for me. As a description.
We need more. We need more beef. We need more stuff. Yeah. 我这样讲英文, 大家需要中文翻译吗? 需要? 好。 我今天早上才发现我需要为自己做翻译。 平常我演讲没有什么准备的。 所以就是看从佛法的角度讲到哪算到哪，但是呢，如果要做翻译的话，就好像是不断的在打断自己，讲到那里，然后倒过来，看刚才讲到哪里，继续再翻译过去。 然后再继续讲，接下来刚刚讲到哪里？再讲继续，有一点可能会不是很顺，诸位听的觉得有点困扰的话，那对不起。啊，他刚刚这位男士讲的是，对他来说，第一个人讲的，好像太高要了，看到生命的生灭，不执着，但是继续活下去。 对他来说好像不够实际，那我就问他说，那你日常生活中你是怎么解释修行？他就说他在日常生活中就知道发现认知心理的在想什么，心理的种种现象，然后正在做事情的时候专注在。 在做事情的事的事实，当下，然后这些东西浮现起来的时候，试着不去受它的影响，然后试着活在当下， 让心能平静。那我就跟他说，你刚刚讲的好像跟那个人讲的一样，只是说讲的稍微比较复杂一点，讲的比较详细一点，然后基本上两个人讲的差不多的。You want to elaborate?
No, I was just going to say when my brain kicks into the idea of impermanence, I'm really, at that point, it's because I'm really in trouble. Like, kind of suffering to a point where my brain sort of like shifts to the explanation that things are impermanent to just, that calms me down, but it's sort of, I get into a state where I'm sort of scared or really uncomfortable, and then it's kind of like it kicks into impermanence. And that reminds me how that has an effect on me at that point.
A positive effect.
Okay. But it's not something I can just bring up. It sort of kicks in like a heating system, that the room gets too cold, so the heat kicks in. Like.
Yeah. Well, you should be thankful it kicks in. Because most people, it doesn't kick in. 所以我就跟他讲说，两个人讲的差不多，只是说是深浅的关系，好像从白到黑两个颜色之间慢慢变，中间有灰，那个灰色继续的变暗，一直到黑色。好，所以这因为我不知道怎么翻译 grayscale。意思是这样子。那他继续说，事实上还有一点，对他来说什么是修行，就是当他观察自己心念的活动的时候，一般而言，如果他能提醒自己这个是无常这个名词的时候，那已经是妄念纷飞或是情绪起伏到某一个程度了，才会有这种观念无常的观念起来。为什么呢？因为当这个无常的观念起来的时候，对他来说是一种概念，是一种正知见，可以说是一种方法。所以发现心情绪起伏已经到了某一个程度的时候呢，他才会想起来，哦，这个是无常，用这个无常这个观念来开始调和自己的情绪。那他没有说在这个之前他是怎么样的，可能就是看自己的心念的起伏。所以我就跟他说，能用无常的观念来调和自己的情绪，这个已经不错了。 Anything else? No. Okay. Anyone else have an idea of what practice is? Yes.
每个人的角度不一样，
对。
但是我觉得说，以我来讲说，最基本上说，我在任何当下啦，我是觉得说，以生活意保持那种自己常关照，就是说自己生活意是说能以耶稣自己生活意清净，我觉得是很重要。任何当下，时常关照自己，
好，
这样觉得。其他你自己在修行。你说说什么无常观空什么，那在个人的修行角度不一样，但是我最基本的时候，你都在生活里的那种当下的那种自我观照是非常重要。
那主要是让他清静，是不是？
而且你自己做到那种生活清静，你自然就是说你自己耶稣好，自然会影响到别人。
那什么是对你来说什么是清静呢？怎么个清静法呢？
比如说，你就说我这生活意说，比如说，我现在在一个任何一个境界，这东西是我应该做的，我应该说去，是我应该采取，说应该行动，就是我应该说是对不对，我自己要很清楚。 或是我升起一个动念，说是在起一个嗔恨，或是一个什么对人家一个不清净的想法，我自己都会很清楚。我觉得任何当下在生活一种感觉，我觉得。
OK， 所以清净，我总结一下，清净对你来说是，就是可能就是跟烦恼有没有相应？
我是提到相应、哦。
如果相应，可能就是不对；然后不相应，就是没有烦恼，那就是清净。
对，我觉得。
OK， 好，谢谢。So this gentleman, thank you. This gentleman said that everyone have their own approach to practice, what practice is like. And there are numerous approaches. The definition of practice can be vast. To him, what is useful, practical, is...to really pay attention to one's, not only one's mind, but body, speech, and mind. And to purify body, speech, and mind. Whatever task at hand, what needs to be done. So I asked him, so how do you purify body, speech, and mind? And he says, well, it's very important to know what is the appropriate thing to do, what is not, to distinguish between what one need to do, what one want to do. And when the mind is, when he gives rise to kind of inappropriate action or inappropriate thinking, then which are vexing,then one tries to kind of free oneself at that, from that. Mainly, discipline oneself. So, to let go of these actions of speech and thought. So I responded. So, in summary, basically you're saying,the process of purification is to discern whether these actions are in accordance with vexations or not. Vexations or not. And he says, yeah, basically. So once a person discovers vexations, emotional afflictions, then one tries to pacify. And once pacified, then...one achieves purity. Thank you. Anyone else want to give it a shot? Yes. 请说。
谢谢。就是刚那位菩萨说，就是说修行是要身口意清净。我想有一个很好的方法。就是比较粗的一个准绳，其实可以用五戒十善这样子，就是说在大的比较粗的氛围内可以先知道怎么做，怎么可以进一步清净身口意。然后我觉得修行还有一个层面可以去理解是就是说把你所听闻的佛法可以不断的深入，就是说我们其实最基本的佛教的概念和理念，其实大家在很短的时间内都可以听闻了，但是却是只是听闻，哪怕是似乎明白他在说什么，也只是浮在表面上，就像一个木头浮在水面，你始终不知道如何深入。然后修行的过程呢，就是不停的听闻之后呢，不停的去做，然后一点一点的去越来越能做到，在做的过程中这个木头就会越来一点一点的开始下沉，然后最后能够沉到海底。所以他修行的过程其实并不是说每天知识量有多了多少，它是一个有一个既在这样循环却又不断深入，又螺旋深入的一个过程。觉得所以修行需要耐心，因为如果因为知识层面没有增加什么， 所以很多人就会觉得厌了，如果他没有体会到第二圈能够深入的乐趣的话，他就无法 stick around， 就是这样。
听你那个最后一句 stick around， 好像你会讲英文的样子，是不是可以帮我翻译一下？这也是修行啊。
I think just first of all, the Pusa, previous Pusa mentioned, what is practice? Practice, purify your, thoughts, body, and mind. I was saying, actually there's maybe an easier way to do it is five precepts, stick to five precepts and 10 good deeds. Because when I started practicing Buddhism, I didn't feel very good about five precepts and 10 good deeds because it's like teachings that ask you to do something or not do something. It's kind of boring. But recently, I've been practicing Buddha Dhamma probably for 2 years. So in the beginning, I'm all interested about lectures, wisdom, all that type of cool things. But lately, I just realized, I didn't really understand the five precepts and 10 good deeds in the beginning. So my understanding changed, deepened over the 2 years. It came back. So I realized the practice is really interesting because, I'm an intellectual person. So when I approached the Buddha Dhamma in the beginning, I'm just very interested about the theory or the new terms. So I want to learn it all. But within a short time period, if you're very diligent, like, a voracious reader like I am, then within a short time period, you'll learn all the basic teachings of Buddha Dhamma, and you know what it's about. But it's kind of interesting because you don't really know what it's about, even though you think you understand the words, but you don't. So the practice to me is a very interesting upward spiral. For example, let me give you an analogy. It's like there's a wood floating on the surface of the ocean. That's how, when you first approach Dhamma, that's how you feel. Because you already heard everything, but you don't really understand. You don't even know what you know. Now, over the time, you start, if you stick around, if you keep doing that, if you don't give up, and then over the time, you start to realize the wood can deep down a little bit. It's like stone can go down the water a little bit more. And over the time, maybe a little bit more and more and more, and all the way down to the ocean. But the important thing is you have to do it, not just merely understand intellectually. So you have to actually act or reform your habits based on those teachings. So I think an easy way to do it is five precepts and 10 good deeds. But the first of all, you need to become aware. It's like previous two Bodhisattvas, Pusa said. Because first of all, you have to be aware of your old habits. Then you can start to change little by little based on five precepts and 10 good deeds. And then because you taste the sweetness, you taste good results, you see your change. Then you're even more motivated to keep going because you know you're on the right path. So practice that, you know. Then I guess your whole life will just go away like that. Just keep practicing, hopefully.
I think I found my translator from English to Chinese. 你叫什么名字？石敏。今天能不能帮我做翻译？我讲英文，你讲中文，可以吗？你坐在这边。
啊，不要吧。
你坐在这边，坐在这边。
行，那个、我要是讲的不对的地方，您补充一下行吗？
啊，当然可以。
好吧，
当然可以。以后我们可以找他做翻译。Now my train of thought can flow.
蒲团就行了。
他坐着比较稳定。
Now we can get things going, right? In the retreat that we just finished, many people, practice very, very hard. But they do not know why some periods of sitting they were able to practice very well, while others, it seems out of their control. Some periods, the mind is very calm. Next period, the mind is very chaotic.
在刚刚结束的禅修过程当中呢，大家都修行，参与者都非常的努力，但是有些人却不理解为什么有一段时间他们能够做得很好，却有一段时间却好像是不受控制，不能够做得很好。
我就跟他们说，So I said to them, in practice, it's not really the view, correct view, or methods of practice, the technique, that's of primary importance, that actually conditions and shapes the outcome of the experience. It is attitude, it is actually the attitude that one has that actually provides the larger context through which an experience emerges, whether the experience is that of scattered thought or is it calmness.
然后我就对他们解释说，在修行过程当中，最重要的其实不一定是正知见，或者是方法，或者是技巧，或者是当下这个状态是好还是坏。最重要的其实是在从一个非常大的视角角度来看的话，最重要的是修行的态度。
是这个修行的态度，这个背景在叙述，在控制，在不断的形成我们一瞬一瞬一瞬间的体验。Why is that? A person can be using a particular method such as silent illumination, working with the breath, contemplating the breath. And like my translator said before, correct views. They know about impermanence.They know about causes and conditions. They know about wisdom. But this knowledge has very, very little effect on what is actually happening in this moment. And the reason is that from one moment to the next, that context, the larger context that actually shapes our experience of this moment,are the presence or absence of vexations. And between presence and absence, there's a whole grayscale of very, the presence of a lot of wandering thought, a lot of very subtle, continuum of, thoughts that we are unaware of.It is these kind of subtle, streams of thought that actually shapes the way we look at someone, the way we, see a phenomenon happening, and actually shapes our interpretation of it.
这个挺难的。 为什么？那么就是刚刚说，为什么有人说他有时候做得好，有时候做得不好，做得不好还而且自己还无法控制呢？这是因为就像我刚刚提到，就是观念，很多人都听闻啊。比如说，如果说我们在做的时候是用默照、用数呼吸的方法的话，大家都听过因缘啊、智慧啊、观念方法，大家都听过，都会用。但是最最重要的呢，其实是。但这些方法大家会发现这些概念方法在做的当下不一定能够用得上，为什么呢？因为当下最重要是一念，从一念到下一念之间，就在这当下一念当中，你到底是有没有觉察还是没有觉察，这之间的差距很大。
翻译得很好，
不行。
我补充一点啊，就是在这个念念之中，念念流转之中，事实上塑造我们的体验，塑造我们对事情的看法，对人的了解，不是观念，也不是技巧方法，修行的观念方法啊，技巧，而是烦恼的存在或是不存在，这些烦恼是非常非常的维系的。如果没有，就像他说，如果没有觉察到这个烦恼的这种维系的这种心念的话，不管用什么方法都用不上，保证。So,Because most people are unaware of this. They're either attached to learning more concepts in Buddha Dharma, hoping that the concept will somehow suppress, change their thoughts and behavior, or those that really like practice meditation and so on.They want to learn, they want to clarify. Maybe they got the method wrong. Maybe it's the method that's wrong, so maybe I should clarify the method or learn another method. This method is not appropriate for me. If I learn a more appropriate method, then maybe I can calm myself, my mind can be clear. Both approaches are wrong.There's a fundamental gap between knowledge, method, and the subtle continuum of attitude. What we bring to practice, what we bring to sitting. It is that which shapes a person.So, what do you find a new method? Clarify with a teacher how to use it? Or you learn more Buddhist terms? You will never be able to bridge that gap until you learn the larger context of practice. What is practice about? And that is changing one's attitude.
就是说呢为什么修行的时候大家不会觉察我刚刚说的，其实最关键的是态度，或者是观念当中的流，在态度是在心念流转当中呢？那是因为一般人啊，大家会容易犯两种错误。第一种错误呢，就是说大家很执着于各种各样的观念，就希望能够学更多的概念，希望学这个概念越多啊，好像就可以自然而然的到了生活当中就把烦恼给排除掉了。所以不停地在寻求学习新的概念。第二种错误呢，就是误区呢，就是大家就觉得，哎呀，这个修行不得力呢，是不是我的方法还不够掌握的不够清楚？所以他们不停地问老师，哎，是不是这个方法我还没有掌握好？是不是这个细节我还没有搞清楚？然后方法细节问清楚之后呢，他们会想，如果还是不得力呢，就会想，那是不是这个方法不适合我？我是不是应该换一个方法？ 以上的两种呢，可惜都是误区，因为这两个误区呢，无法帮你跨越你这个当下修行不得力的这样一个鸿沟。嗯，因为知识，对知识的不断的积累，或者是对方法不断的了解，不断的去深究，并不能帮你解决刚我所说的从心念从一个念到下一个念的烦恼的察觉，这个细微的心念对烦恼察觉，这一点是无法通过这两个方法来解决的。所以最重要的只能靠修行的态度，在那个当下那一瞬间的态度。这个真的很难，因为他讲的东西非常的微细。我觉得就算我能理解你讲的，我不能马上很好的把它翻译出来。Sorry.
You're doing a very good job. What attitude am I talking about? What's this attitude that I'm talking about? Does anyone want to know?This is the secret.
那我现在讲到底是什么态度呢？既然我说态度这么重要，大家有没有人想知道呢？这是一个非常大的秘密。
No. In the retreat, I usually let people.7-day retreat, 7 or 10-day retreat. I let people suffer a little bit for the first day and a half, two days. Let them wallow in the depth of their vexations. Let them grapple with the method, trying to different approaches. Let them taste just how much.Wandering thoughts they are normally in their life and how intense they are in addition to kind of physical discomfort of the retreat. I only give them one thing, which is relax and try to isolate yourself to the present moment. Forget about the past.Forget about the future. Forget about everything outside the retreat. You know, even within the retreat environment. Just stay with your body. Relax the body. Relax the attitude. But even that, most people will not be able to do. Which is part of the whole plan. that itself is an importantway to do retreats, but after 2 days of this, when they have this thirst for help, when they are looking for remedy,Then I give it to them. This is very important. Because this has always been the approach of Chan masters, Chan teachings. And even in daily life, it's really the same. You know, when you want to help someone,If they don't ask for the help, whatever you say just goes in one ear and come out the other. So you have to draw them out and then go for the kill. Right? Draw out their vexations and then go for the kill. Or give the antidote when they want it and you give.
在禅修，在我带的禅修当中呢，我首先前两天我会让大家 先自己的体验一下，摸索一下。比如说让他们自己在那边打坐呢，自己体验一下，
受受苦，
受受苦。OK， 好吧，让大家在那边受受苦，自己感觉一下自己的烦恼啊有多么的深。在自己呢在那边摸索一下方法，体验一下自己的烦恼。一方面也想让大家放松一下，与外界先隔绝一下，暂时的让自己和自己的身体在一起，放下外面的世界。但即便是这样呢，也有很多人还是做不到。所以两天以后呢，当大家已经自己在那边摸索了半天，就尝试了各种方法，然后感到自己被烦恼很困惑的时候，那这个时候呢，正当时他们如饥似渴的需要寻求帮助的最迫切的时候。那在这个时候呢，我才开始讲，因为这是很重要的。为什么？因为这是禅宗一贯的做法，即便在日常生活中也是一样的。只有当你把他的各种问题都调出来了，他急迫切的想要找到解决问题的方法的时候，才是最好的时机。
先把人的内心的种种烦恼、种种对法的渴望引出来，然后再一刀杀下去那个烦恼。我举一个例子，让大家笑一笑。Let me give you one example about this method, this approach of teaching. And then I'll return to the attitude. In the 8th century, 7th, 8th century, 7th, 8th century, maybe, yeah, 8th, 9th century, there was a great charm master, Ma Zu. In Chan history,He's the only one who had enlightened 180 students. He's one of the greatest Chan master in history. Before he engaged in practice, all he wanted to do was meditate. Meditate. Because that was practice.Living in the monastery, everyone has assigned jobs. They work, they till the land, sustaining the monastery. No one can get him to budge. First of all, he was like 7 feet tall. This is like a giant in pre-modern China where everyone's like 5 feet tall. He was huge. And all day long, he sat in the meditation hall. Even the abbot couldn't get him to move. And they don't want to piss him off because it's...You know, big guy. Until his reputation started to circulate neighboring monasteries, and this Chan master, Nan Yue Huai Rang, heard about him. Said, oh, I'll go check him out.
Okay, 我现在跟大家讲一个笑话，就是在17世纪时候呢，中国在七八十世纪的时候呢，中国有一个著名的禅师叫马祖禅师，在他座下曾经开悟了180人。他一开始的时候呢，他修行的时候他只想打坐，就是他，所以他整天就像在禅堂里坐着，什么事都不干。但是在中国禅宗的风气是一日不耕一日不坐，所以很多人每人都要干活，耕田啊，打扫啊，维持寺庙正常运作。所以很难想象一个人整天坐着不动。然后由于马祖而且人非常高，他有七尺高，在古代中国已经是一个巨人了，很高的。然后这样，即便他这样子连方丈也请他不动。后来呢有一个南岳怀壤有一个南岳怀壤禅师听说了，然后请听故事下文。
Chan Master Nan Yue was a small guy, skinny, thin, old. So I'll go check him out. So he goes over there and sees, wow, this guy is huge. He took two bricks, starts grinding the bricks, annoying the hell out of Ma Zu, Dao Yi, right in front of him. So he's kind of grinding the bricks. You can just imagine this. This old guy, take two breaks. Mazu was like, after a whole day, Mazu couldn't stand it. You know, he's like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Am I bothering you? I am trying to make a mirror out of these two bricks. That's what I'm grinding, you know. Gotta polish it very clean so it becomes smooth and you'll be able to reflect.
然后这个南岳怀壤禅师听说了这个故事，听说了这个马祖禅师什么事都不做之后呢，他说好，那我去看看吧。这个南岳怀壤禅师呢，人年纪很大了，又瘦又老又干瘪，所以是很小很 tiny 很小的一个人。然后他过去一看啊，一看马祖，哎呀，果然是个巨人，很大。然后他就在他面前呢，拿了两块石头，拿了两块砖头，不停的在磨啊磨啊磨。然后时间长了，马祖禅师就忍不住了，他就说你干嘛？然后南岳怀壤禅师说啊，我打扰你了吗？然后马祖就说你想干什么？然后南岳怀壤禅师就说，我在磨石成镜啊，你看我把这两块石头磨啊磨啊磨，然后把它磨得非常的光滑，可以照见人的影子。
And then, Mazu was just laughing to himself, this old fool. How can you make a mirror by grinding the two bricks? And then Nan Yue was like, so what are you doing? And Mazu said, don't you see? I'm practicing. I'm sitting meditation to become a Buddha. Become enlightened.
然后马祖听了南岳禅师这样的回答就笑了，他说，哎，这个人真傻，磨石怎么可能沉静呢？那南岳禅师就问马祖禅师，那你在这里干什么呢？那马祖禅师说，我在这里修行啊。
马祖说，修行你没看到吗？我在这修行，我修行，我打坐成佛。And then, Nan Yue starts laughing.
然后南岳禅师就笑了。
He says, that's funny. Do you want to be that kind of Buddha? That's kind of sitting in the hall at the end, that doesn't move in meditation?
然后南岳禅师就笑了，他说，难道你想要成为后面那个菩萨像一尊就是石头或者是水泥做的一个菩萨吗？一动也不动坐在那边。
那尊佛吗？
那尊佛。
And he continued, so, I don't get it. How can meditation make you a Buddha?You want to be that kind of Buddha that doesn't move? What he's saying is, there's absolutely no direct relationship between this technique that you're doing with Buddhahood.
南岳禅师的说法是，你这样坐着一动不动就能够成佛吗？他的说法是，你的这个技巧，这打坐一动不动这样的这种技巧和方法，跟成佛其实是没有必然关系的。
At that time, Mazu realized this is not an old crazy monk, so he humbled himself.First word out of his mouth is Acharya. Acharya is a Sanskrit word, means Ashali. It's a very respectful term for a Dharma teacher. First he was like, you old guy, what are you doing? 老汉. Now he says Ashali, right? Acharya, venerable. How does one become a Buddha then?
大妈祖禅师听到南岳禅师这样一说之后，他立刻意识到眼前的这位老汉啊非同常人，他立马非常谦卑的尊称老汉，然后向他请法，请问如何能够成佛道。
This is what I'm talking about. Imagine 南岳 goes over there to 妈祖 and says, Hey, you know, you're doing it all wrong. Let me tell you how to do it, okay? First, you gotta, you know, Four Noble Truths. You gotta practice the Eightfold Path. Don't you know that daily life is practice? If he tells him that, that would have been useless.So he had to draw him out. When he's ready, go for the kill. And at that moment, when Ma Zu was bewildered, all of his methods, his approach, what he thought practice was in doubt. Once the doubt, the sense of kind of not knowing arises, then Nan Yue gave him one question, which he was able to suddenly realize enlightenment.
所以说如果假设南岳禅师刚开始接触马祖禅师的时候，不是以我们刚刚故事所说的方式接触的，而是一跑过去就说，哎呀，马祖禅师你这样做是不对的，让我告诉你先应该四圣地，然后八正道，然后再如何成佛的话，恐怕效果就不会那么好。所以这就是我现在所说的，我所说的态度就是说，这个就是要先把对方的问题先引出来，对求学就是对他自己正在所用的方法，他自己所认为的修行方法先产生了疑问，然后对症下药，这样一刀下去能够让他开悟。
All of us have various constructsmental formations, our own views of things. And we try to accumulate more views, more perspectives, more techniques to remedy our unsettled mind. Ideas such as impermanence, such as purity,I want to purify my mind by recognizing vexations. What are vexations? Or I can use ideas of impermanence. Tell ourselves, this is impermanent, this is impermanent. It changes and changes. Or use ideas such as causes and conditions, yin yuan, to kind of tell ourselves. But ultimately,even if you're able to fix your state of mind, it's only a temporary fix. You still do not know the principle of practice.
当我们在被困烦恼困扰，想要抓一样东西的时候呢，我们以为了解更多的观点啊、见解啊、方法就可以补救。然后比如说有些人知道无常观，就会用无常的观来开解自己。然后有些人呢会用清净观，有些人呢会用觉察自己烦恼的方法，还有些人呢能够用因缘观来解说。但是这种能够暂时平息自己烦恼心念的呢，都只是一种暂时的解决方法，它不是最终的解决方法。
Because what lies behind these techniques and methods and concepts is this dualistic.对立的 dualistic way of thinking, of relating to life. Behind this is, I want this moment to be other than what it is. When you are experiencing difficulty in life, trouble, vexations, you don't want this.I want it to be other than what it is. I want peace. In other words, grasping and rejecting. As long as there's an attitude of wanting to get rid of this in order to get that. As long as this is the context, whatever method and concept you use, the outcome will be shaped by this dualistic concept. And vexations will still be present.
因为在这些刚刚我们说大家会运用各种方法，但是在这些很好的佛教的观点方法的背后呢，大家始终是在用一种对立二元对立的思考模式去操作，在这
心态对立这种心态，
对立的心态，对二元对立这种心态去对待这些问题的。所以当你遇到困难啊烦恼的时候，虽然你在运用各种佛教的观点方法，但你心中在背后始终有一个声音会是说，我要这个，我不要这个，哎呀，我希望当下不是这个状况，还是希望能够啊，最好是我心里如意的方式，心里如意的现象在出现。比如说我要宁静啊，哎呀，我要平静啊，我不要这个。这个实际上是一种抓取，还有一种厌弃的一种心理。我厌弃当下这个不如意的状态，我要抓一个东西，或这样一种状态。而这种要只要你有这种想要放弃什么或者排斥什么而要抓什么的这种心态的话，它就是一个二元对立的一个心态。所以你运用的任何的佛教的方法，比如说因缘啊无常这种观点，在你运用上去的时候不会太得力的原因，就是你的出发点始终是一种二元对立的心态。
Everyone's following me now so far?
大家现在还跟得上我这个思路吗？
Okay, it's very important.
这是很重要的。
So practice is about transforming our attitude towards whatever we are experiencing. That's why in the Chan tradition, the principle is not grasping, not rejecting.
所以修行呢，最重要的就是改变你对当下正在发生的，不管是好是坏的一种心态。一种心态的改变是一种不取不舍的心态。
When we hear this, this seems kind of cold. It seems like we're trying to be a stoic. We have no feelings. I don't grasp. I don't reject. I'm always in neutral. Does it sound like that? Like we're supposed to live our life, have no feelings. Live our lives without any motivation, right? It implies that a little bit, it seems like, right? Don't grasp, don't reject. What kind of attitude is that?
乍一听这种不取不舍的心态啊，似乎有些冷漠，没有感情。哦，我这个也不要，哦，我这个无所谓。好像不是一个很好的一种状态，感觉很冷漠。
Actually not. Not grasping. I'm sorry.
实际上不是。
Not grasping, not rejecting. First, we have to recognize our normal way of relating to people and things, 待人处事, that very fundamentally, what we are doing, our attitude towards it is, either we want it or we don't want it. We have to recognize this first. And once we recognize it, what we need to do is change our attitude towards it. Change our attitude doesn't mean that we become neutral. We have no grasping, no rejecting, everything's okay. Rather, our attitude could be a whole variety of things, such as gratitude. gratitude.
嗯。哦，所以，刚刚我们说到，有人会误认为这种不取不舍的态心态呢，是一种很冷漠的、很冷漠像像木头人一样的心态，实际上不是，因为不取不舍呢，首先你要能够觉察自己，认识和觉察自己在待人处事当中是怎样一个心事过程，然后呢，改变这种态度，改变自己。待人处事时的态度并不是说自己不在乎、哦、这个不喜欢这个不要什么都无所谓，而是说而这种态度的改变可以包容很多种东西，比如说你可以有一种感恩之情。
This actually points to a very large problem in Buddhism in the West.This overemphasis on technique, overemphasis on meditation. And, doctrine, theory, right? And, a de-emphasis on attitude. What is this attitude that I'm talking about? Virtue.Because in traditional, traditional practice setting, maybe pre-modern time and so on, what shapes so-called practice is actually virtue. Virtue such as gratitude, humility, Humility, contentment. You don't see that in Barnes and Noble. People really don't want to really hear that, right? Or morality. People really don't want to hear that.
实际上这里指出了在西方佛教界有一个很大的问题呢，就在于大家都过于侧重于对技巧、打坐、教条、理论这些方面的关注，而没有对心态、品德、美德等一些方面的关注。比如说在古代的时候呢，塑造了一个修行人的修行的很重要的一部分是他的感恩心、惭愧心，还有他知足常乐、道德各方面的修行塑造这些。
If a practitioner practices humility, then it doesn't matter what method the person uses.Doesn't matter what correct views, concept, they will be able to deepen one's practice.
如果有一个人在修行惭愧心的话，如果他有惭愧心的话，不管他用什么方法，他都是有办法能够让他修行更深一步。
How can one recognize humility?
那一个人怎么能够觉察或认识惭愧心呢？
By observing oneself and everything around oneself.
可以通过观察自己，还有观察周围所有的人。
That everything is related.
你会意识到所有的事情都是相互联系的。
There are three aspects to this humility. First one is recognizing one's limitations. Recognizing one's limitation. Second is recognizinglimitation of what? Limitation of inability to change things, inability to change oneself, inability to understand ultimately, deal with one's vexations. And the third limitation. So from limitation, we understand limitation of one's vexations. Right? Limitation is one, vexation is second. Third one is limitation of fulfilling one's responsibilities.
如何升起惭愧心呢？惭愧心，认识到自己惭愧心可以从三个方面来认识。第一个是认识到自己的不足，什么样的不足呢？比如说认识到自己不能够完全改变自己这样一种局限性，自己不能够完全做到。第二方面是认识到自己在改变自己烦恼，在消融烦恼这个过程当中的不足。第三个不足是可以看到，第三个是可以看到升起惭愧心，是可以看到责任，自己对一些自己身边的责任所应当履行的责任不能够完全履行，这样一种局限性和不足。
Why do I say that? Kind of cultivating the most important thing, not really the method, not really the correct view.But cultivating virtue is most important because in everyday living, in our lives, through our interactions with others, this is what we recognize. Limitations. And that really humbles oneself.With a humble attitude, when that person meditates, that person's mind will very quickly calm down. Now, recognizing one's limitation doesn't mean one feels sorry for oneself, because feeling sorry for oneself, that is another vexation.But simply just recognize it, and I'll tell your story.
所以说修行最重要培养的不是方法和知见，而最重要的是培养一种品德。比如说，因为这是在与人交往过程当中，我们首先就可以体验到的。因为在与人交往过程当中，我们可以体验到自己的不足，从而升起惭愧心。然后以这样的心态去打坐的时候呢，很快就能够使自己的心平静下来。当然认识到自己的不足并不是说要为自己感到难过。
When I was the attendant monk to my teacher, since I started meditation young, I learned meditation when I was quite young, and I've always loved meditation. So I can sit for hours, and I used to do that, hours. And I even tried this, you know, sleeping while sitting up in meditation posture. I did that for about over a year. Where? Right up here, second floor. My room was next to the Chan Hall. In my room,There's one calligraphy on the wall. Die. Death. Reminding me of birth and death. And I used to sleep sitting up. I got so good. I could sleep and still snore. Like, my body doesn't fall down. And Buddhist knowledge. Right? Gather. Chanting.Rituals. I do that. But that really didn't change me. These are just kind of external forms, like Mazu's statue. Want to be that kind of Buddha? That doesn't move, good at meditation. Until one day. And because I was very self-absorbed, you know, because this is what I think practice is, right? My Shifu has to use very drastic measure to bring me out and go for the kill. Right? He used to do that through a lot of time, like public humiliation and all kinds of stuff. But one time he did this. And because I was self-absorbed, I used to, being his attendant, I used to forget his stuff. Forget his stuff, you know. And we're talking about really just selfish. The more one practices, the more selfish one becomes, you know. So self-centered, selfish, that I will forget my responsibilities and overlook, forgive my own limitations, you know, or overextend my limitations, right? And what I was doing was subduing my vexations, what I thought was vexations. I used to chant very well. So in Taiwan, hundreds of people in the main hall after the evening service is over. It's complete silence. You have to let the abbot, Shifu, leave the hall first. And then the head monk, two rows, nuns, everyone leave, follow. So after the chanting's over, I'm there chanting out loud and melodic, and Shifu comes by and says, your chanting is pretty good. And I fell right into that trap. You know? I was like, and everyone heard it. You know, hundreds of people heard it. All the lay people, the monastic. It's like, your chanting is very good. Shifu is praising me publicly. Thank you, Shifu. You know, very proud. And then, you can translate.
我也等着听笑话呢，估计想的不好了。Okay. 就我曾经是师父的侍从啊，然后我从小就学打坐了，然后非常喜欢打坐，一坐呢就要几个小时，而且呢还尝试做不倒单，就是睡觉的时候也这样坐着，而且就是在这里啊，就是在禅中心二楼，就是有一个书法写着"死"这个字下面呢，我就是这样，以不倒单的方式睡觉，而且还可以打呼。 而且我对经文也是非常的了解，佛教知识也很丰富，然后也经也很诵经也诵的很多，所以我一直以为啊自己非常用功努力的在修行，这就是我所谓的修行。可惜呢，这些其实都是一些外在的形式，我是拼命用功的东西，都是一些外在形式，就像那个马祖在那边不停不动的坐着，想成为那尊佛一样。 其实我的问题是，当时我很沉浸在自我的世界当中，实际上说白了就是自私，以至于甚至于忽略了自己应有的责任。比如说我是师父的侍从，可是我却经常忘记一些师父的事情。然后最后呢，师父当然是看到我这个问题了，但是由于我那么沉浸于在自己的世界当中，自己的修行当中，师父必须要用一个非常夸张的手段呢。
非常狠的手段。
哦不，要看你后面怎么惨才知道狠不狠。师父必须要用一个非常狠的手段呢，把我拉出来，从自我的世界中拉出来。所以有一天呢，就是在台湾对吧？龙禅寺。哦，在台湾龙禅寺，我们在诵经啊。诵经结束之后呢。 一片寂静，然后是师父带队先走出来，然后是两位大一点的法师，位置高一点法师，然后再几位法师这样走，然后师父几百人是吧？然后师父就走到我旁边说："你诵经诵得很好啊。" 就是当着这么多人的面公开表扬我，我当时非常高兴，说谢谢师父。
这个就像，
这个就像把我把我的这个所学的东西啊，不，把我所认为的修行的方法先引出来。然后大家且听下文师父如何一刀下去
准备杀啊。他说然后 so he didn't stop there, he kind of pressed further so I would fall deeper into the trap. He says especially the four great vows, the four great vows, I vow to deliver all sentient beingsI vow to cut off vexation, master limitless approaches, dharma, attain Buddha. Especially the four great vows, your melody is really, really good.
然后师父并没有停啊，师父就先设了一个陷阱，他把我引出来嘛，把那个自我引出来，所以他并没有停止于在赞美我这一句，你讲得很好，他要引得更深嘛，要把更大的自我引出来，他就说，特别是那个四世宏愿啊，你说得特别好。四弘誓愿
，譬如说，第一句是众生无边誓愿度啊，等等。And then, because Shifu doesn't praise people publicly like that, but being an idiot, so I was like, oh, it's just that's so good. Everyone, see, Shifu thinks I chant pretty well. You know, you guys heard it, right? So I was in.And then he starts laughing. The kind of laugh that Shifu used to do with me, it's kind of like a bitter kind of laugh. 苦笑. He's kind of laughs. Shifu can be very sarcastic, very humorous. He's going, you can't even deliver one sentient beings, forgetting your own teacher's lecture notes, water bottle and stuff. And you're there chanting, saving all sentient beings. And he just left. It's like dropping a big bomb. And everyone heard. And by that time, tears just came out. You know, tears just came out. It wouldn't stop. And I was frozen there. Because what Shifu said was really true. You know, all I've done up to then was focus onthe external form, chanting, in practice, and I push myself, so that this external form would kind of suppress my vexations.
然后师父一般是，大家都知道师父一般是不会公开表扬别人，但是由于当时呢我太沉醉了，所以我根本没有意识到然后还非常高兴，结果呢师父就苦笑了几声带着讥讽意味的说，我看你啊是连一个众生师父都没有都不好，也经常忘了我的水杯啊身边的东西啊不要说去度其他所有众生了，然后师父就走了，就把我撂在那儿当时我就流下了眼泪，因为师父没说错，师父说的是对的我一直过于在乎的，拼命用功的，追求的都是一些外在的形式。
So after everyone left the hall, the monks, the nuns, the lay people, I just stood there and I just cried. And then I rushed to Shifu's room on the second floor. I rushed and I knelt down and said, Shifu, I will never forget anything for you that I'm supposed to do anymore. I will never forget anything.
然后因为当时不是在诵经吗，然后大家就纷纷离开了，之后呢我一个人还在那边流眼泪，然后后来我就跑到师父二楼跪在师父面前说，师父，我以后再也不会忘记要帮您所应该带东西，就是我应尽的责任，我再也不会忘记。
You know what 师父 said? Shiva says, "We'll see." 看着办吧。
对啊，师傅就师傅师傅，我觉得是激将法吧。他就是他就对他说，那就看着办。
But I learned something because after that episode, what I learned was all of these external forms has actually no bearing on my vexations. I'm still the same person, you know, saying things wrong, doing things wrong, thinking of different kind of stuff. But what I learned was a sense of humility. Sense of humility. Practicing with that attitude.With the attitude of serving others. Because I learned that my practice is not important. My practice is not important. But what I can do is use my body, use my mind to offer myself to others. Being grateful that I even have a chance to meet Shifu in this lifetime.To serve him and to use my body to serve others. Shifu told me, use your body like a rag, mind like a mirror. That's what I did. It's not about practice a particular method or about having particular knowledge about doctrine.When you have the attitude of offering yourself out of gratitude, out of humility, then vexations, slowly are transformed.
Right. 那一幕之后呢，我学到了很多东西。我意识到外在的形式呢，其实不是那么重要，因为你学了很多外在的形式，外在形式东西，比如诵经、打坐，各种各样方法。我还是原来的我，只是脑子里装着不同的东西而已。但是有能够升起一种惭愧心，还有为他人奉献的心呢，才是非常重要。它是，而我自己个人如何修行，其实相比这种惭愧心和为他人奉献的心是不重要的。我应该感到非常感恩，能够用我的身体。去奉献给师认识师父并去奉献给师父或者更给大众正如师父所说为他人的身体一样
师父说你身如抹布心如明镜奉献
对身如抹布心如明镜这样为大众奉献的时候你的感恩心惭愧心起来之后你的烦恼心自然就消减了
This has direct bearing on the Chan attitude of not grasping, not rejecting. Because when we grasp something, when we reject something, when we want this moment to be other than what it is, what lies at the center is yourself. I don't like, I like. When you have the attitude, a very progressive, proactive attitude of offering everything, this...You naturally don't have grasping and rejecting. So grasping and rejecting is not a passive attitude of being a stoic. You know, I don't care about anything. I'm not grasping, I'm not rejecting. That's vexations. If you offer yourself, if a practitioner truly practices not grasping and rejecting, not being self-referential, self-attached, what that person will have is humility.Gratitude. And these are the transformative formulas that actually defines one's practice. So vexations naturally are diminished. Vexations arise because self-reference, self-attachment, 自我为中心的想法，奉献，感恩， 会自然而然是一种正面的这种不取不拒的一种心态。对不起
哦，没有，
你的 job
很好。因为其实这种感恩心、惭愧心的升起，跟禅宗一直以来不取不舍的方法其实是直接相应的。因为当一个人在奉献自己的时候，他其实就自然而然地放下了我执，他不会再去抓取，而我们所有的烦恼都是因为我执而产生的，所以奉献自己其实也是最直接的一个法门。
Everyone follow?
大家觉得有道理吗？跟得上吗？
So on the second, on the third day of the intense retreat, I led everyone in a period of prostrations. Prostrations. 礼拜。忏悔礼拜。Prostrations on repentance, recognizing the way we live, the why we are here.In this moment, alive, it's because our parents gave birth to us. All the nurturing of us, making sure we're safe, so we don't run into cars, we still have two legs, we can grow up safely. All the teachers, all the friends, everyone around us that help us, right? The clothes that you wear,the food that you eat, everyone's intimately related to one another. Recognizing the interconnectedness of everything and recognizing our own limitations. What have we done for humanity? Recognizing that, contemplating all the benefits that we receive in that prostration,About 80% to 90% of the people were just bawling, crying, doing their prostration. And after that, I practiced very peacefully.
所以在禅修的第三天呢，我就要大家做礼拜，在佛前做忏悔礼拜。然后我要让大家思考一下自己为什么会出现，自己是如何达到今天这一步的。自己有这样健康的身体，有这么多亲朋好友的关心关怀，有这么好的人际关系，这些都是怎么来的？我们又对大家，对你身边的人，对你周围的人，对其他人又做出了过什么回报呢？就这样带着这样的观察，在这样思考，不停地在这样做忏悔礼拜，然后
拜完后，因为心态改变了，这个心思的背景改变了。从那之后，大家非常的安心，非常的稳定，开始练习方法。So because of that, context, the larger background through which all of our thoughts, all of our methods, our technique, it's changed. Practice out of.Offering, practice all of humility, you know, contentment. Then everyone was able to use the method very well. This is a very, very important, message I'd like to give to all of you today. Right? Don't get too caught up with the technique, method. Don't get too caught up with the concepts. If you change your context,If you change the background, all the background vexations, that attitudes of grasping, which I don't like this, I better use this to suppress that. If you change the context, you see and recognize the Dharma, Buddha Dharma, in everyday life, everyone is actually teaching us. Every opportunity is actually presenting our vexations.Our limitations, our responsibility, three things, huh? Then you see that as Dharma. With that kind of humility, I guarantee you, your vexations will be transformed. Now, if you start to feel guilty, vexations, guilty or fear or whatever negative thing, kind of feeling down because of that. That itself is vexation. It's also kind of, you gotta recognize behind that is actually self-disparagement. I don't like this. Why? You don't like this? You feel bad? Because you have some already constructed ideal deep in your mind. You like that better. That's still grasping and rejecting.然后，我听得太认真了，我想一想。所以今天想给诸位一个讯息，就是不要太执着方法，也不要太执着观念，最重要是改变心态，因为心态是方法观念的背景，把这个背景改变了。 心态转变了，保证烦恼会降服。为什么？那如果你开始想这些感恩心啊、奉献啊、惭愧啊、忏悔，好像把心态变成非常沉默、非常低落，或者消极，或者对自己觉得很难过，或者不喜欢自己，这个也是烦恼。这是什么样的烦恼呢？又是取舍。 不喜欢自己，不喜欢自己，取什么呢？你当你不喜欢自己，表示你喜欢，心里有一个影像，我应该变成这样子，那就是取，又是舍，又是取，还是取舍。所以发现这个还是烦恼，如果真正改变了这种心态的话，烦恼自然而然降服，烦恼很难起来。 烦恼起来是因为取舍，你没有取舍，它烦恼怎么会起来？所以平常日常生活中，心空灵的，不是空洞，非常清楚，然后非常灵活，因为你所有看到周围都是在给你讲佛法，佛法不是在做，怎么讲呢？看到周围所有都是看到自己的limitation， 自己的界限，limitation，局限，看到自己的这个不所足的地方，所以表示像镜子一样，就能让自己了解这种惭愧心，这样能接受吗？可以哈。 So everyone follows? Yeah. Context. Very important. Context, the attitude. Time is over a little bit. If you have questions, you can... Do we have time for questions? Maybe one or two. One or two questions. And then we will stop. And we'll enjoy the food.
我们已经超过时间了，有没有人有问题？一到两个问题，然后我们就吃饭。Thank you for your talk, and I think that one addition. Thank you for your talk, Gogu, and I think one addition, or I invite you to add one addition to the virtues, which would be compassion. I think overall, what you're talking about, what this young man was talking about, what everybody. Who made comments earlier, were talking about, and it's very emotional, but it's seeing things in totality, I think, instead of particularity, if that makes sense. Thank you.
This女士刚刚菩萨刚刚说，非常感谢今天古古菩萨的这个演讲，也感谢刚刚几位菩萨发言补充的。我觉得今天听下来感觉非常感人，但是我觉得我想补充一点，就是说可能我们看东西，我们要补充一点，就是说慈爱，就是在这些品德当中，我们可以加一个 compassion， 就慈爱心、慈悲心。还有一点是，或许我们应该更多的从一个整体的角度去看，而不是从 某一个特别的品德品质上去看。
I agree, but there are so many virtues, you know, compassion, we can't list all of them. But the point is virtue, you know, our attitude towards stuff. We can reflect on the larger perspective of things when we don't have too much vexations. When we are in vexations, very hard. When we are in vexations, and we have to deal with it directly, that's, you know, changing one's context.
对，我同意这个刚刚这个女士的说法，因为这世界上有这么多美好的品质、品德，然后慈悲心也是其中的一个，但是我是想说，就是当我们有在烦恼当中的时候，其实改变从整体的角度去看是非常困难，那个时候可能就是要用一个品德去对峙，总体来说。Sorry， 我有一个问题，就是我有时候听了我会忘了下文。
Any other questions？
有没有其他问题
？Or comments？ Is it useful？
大家觉得有用吗
？That's why you know my teacher, his Chan retreats are different than other.Chan or Zen retreat, you use a method, kind of plunge. Go use a method. He come at it from a very kind of psychological, emotional perspective to do what? To bring out vexations and really point to what the core problem is. So we used to always do repentance, prostration.Compassion and meditation or gratitude and so on. So, you know, it's very important. I mean, we all did it, those of you who practice under him. But I guess what I've done is kind of organize in a structured, a little structured way, kind of.Tripartite structure way of how these things actually work. View, method, but is the attitude, right? That's turning things around.
师父和一般的其他的禅宗的禅师有一个不一样的地方，就是师父他有一个会有一个给你很大的心理的转变，因为他就是先把你的问题这样引出来，然后再一刀下去。所以方法、观点、方法、态度都很重要，但是态度尤为重要，它设置一个大的背景。
Okay, thank you very much.
谢谢大家。